God's grace is to you this morning from our Father, from the Son, and from the Holy Spirit. Amen. You did a good job singing that sermon hymn. I'd like to start with another hymn today, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, famous hymn by Robert Robinson. Start with a verse from this hymn. It goes like this. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. Do you ever feel like that? Like your heart is prone to wander? Like it's tending to stray from God, like it's pulling you in various directions. For in truth, I know as Christians, you want Jesus. You love your Savior. You believe the gospel. And your desire is to follow him always. But there seems to be something wrong in us, something wrong with our heart. It has a nasty habit of being distracted, led astray, and prone to wander. And this becomes all the more troubling to us when we hear words like this of Christ in Scripture. He says of the last days in Matthew 24, because lawlessness will be increased, most men's love will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And so we know that we must not wander, but stick to the path of life and finish life on the path. That is, namely, in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. But then we feel our hearts prone to wander, tugging. It's like inside of us, we know we want to go straight ahead, and our hearts pull this way and that way and up and down and to the side. Do you feel that? I feel that. And when our hearts do this, we might begin to ask ourselves, will I get lost on life's way? Will I ever get safely home? How can I be assured I'll choose the right way through life? Will God still love me and lead me, though my heart is prone to wander? And why does it wander so? Why does it pull me into vain and sinful things that I know are no good for me when I want to go straight ahead? Why do I look to the right and to the left? God, help me. Why do I have to constantly secure my heart in the truth? And what assurance can I have that God will keep me and I'll go straight and safely through this rocky wilderness, through this valley of the shadow of death, through life to heaven? Well, God has some great words of good comfort for us today from John chapter 10, which is what I'll primarily be speaking on and from, words that give us the assurance that we will indeed safely navigate through all the twists and turns of this life, even though our hearts are tugging in different directions strangely and mysteriously and sinfully at times, even as we seek to walk straight ahead. But God gives us the blessed assurance that we are going to go on the good path today, and he's going to bring us home. So let's hear what he has to say to us today, to us whose hearts are prone to wander at times. What does the Lord Jesus say to us? We'll be preaching from John chapter 10. Starting in the first verse, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Let me see if I can help explain these things to you today. What's the good word of comfort that we have from this text, from this scripture, from these words of Christ? Well, number one, what I drive out of it when my heart is tugging this way and that is that Jesus knows my heart and he knows ours. He knows that we're prone to wander, and that's why he calls us sheep. Can you go, bah, See how what good sheep you are? I tell you to do it, and you do it. Follow the leader. Well, of all the images that God uses of us in the scriptures, none is more prevalent than sheep. He's constantly calling us sheep. For example, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Paul, when he's about to leave the church to go to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 20, they know they'll never see him again because he'll be taken away. And he says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. In Ezekiel 34, God prophesies against the shepherds, the pastors of that day who were leading the people astray. He says, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who've been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? He was angry that they weren't feeding his people. Therefore, God says in verse 11, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And then we have this fulfilled in John chapter 10, which we read from. Jesus says there, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So you're no different from the Christians of all time when you feel your heart is prone to wander. That's what a sheep does. Do you like being called sheep, by the way? The world doesn't like this title. Man would never choose it. And how many college teams do you know choose a sheep as their mascot? Can you just see the championship title? You know, the Arizona Wildcats versus the Florida Sheep. Nobody does that. You have the Arkansas Razorbacks, the Nevada Wolfpack, the California Golden Bears, the Georgia Bulldogs, the Connecticut Huskies, the Florida Gators. Nobody calls themselves sheep, but God calls us sheep. God calls you sheep. Think of it. All these other animals, wildcats, razorbacks, wolfpack, golden bears, bulldogs, huskies, gators. According to Old Testament, those are all unclean animals. But sheep are clean and pure animals, innocent. But they're also not very smart, are they? They're easily led astray without a shepherd. I actually read this on the internet this week of a shepherd, a real shepherd, and his daughter and how he was watching her interact with the flock. He says, every day now, Jean watches the 2.5-month-old lambs pile up in the corner of their pen as they rush to go out to the grass in their pasture. When you watch a 50-pound lamb lower its head, close its eyes, and try repeatedly to jump through a 6-inch square of fence, you get the general idea that there are no lights on in there and definitely no one home. Sheep just can't find their way. They're prone to getting lost. I also read this story this week. In the Highlands of Scotland, the sheep often wander off into the rocks and get in places where they can't get out. They look at some beautiful grass, the sweet grass that they want to eat, and they jump down 10 or 12 feet to feed on it on a precipice. But then they don't have the brains because they've jumped down there. They can't jump back up. They've gotten themselves into a fix. And so the shepherd hears the bleating of the sheep, and he waits, though, lets them sit there many days and eat the grass, because if he were to jump down there immediately, the shepherd says, if I were to try to rescue them right away, they are such fools that they would dash themselves right over the precipice and be killed. And so what he does is he waits several days, lets them eat all the grass until they have no more strength left, and then he goes down, puts a rope, and gently brings them up to safety. The point is Jesus calls us sheep, tenderly, and for good cause. He knows that we're prone to wander. And consider this from Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Don't you feel that? Or am I the only person in this room, this sanctuary, that feels this? I want to walk in the straight paths and boom, boom, boom. I'm like, down heart, down. Why are you doing this? But even Paul experienced this in Romans 7. He says, "For I don't do the good I want, but the evil I don't want is what I keep on doing." And he says, "When I want to do right, evil lies close at hand." It's always there tugging this way and that upon a Christian. The good word is that the shepherd is well acquainted with this aspect of his sheep. And he takes it into account as he shepherds you. He knows your deep distress about this. He knows the bleeding of the lambs. And he has come to rescue you and to lead you faithfully. As it was prophesied in Isaiah 40, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Isn't this a great word to you? Does your heart wander? Are you prone to stray? I haven't heard a big response yet. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I'm not alone in this. Another good comfort is that Jesus speaks to his sheep. He calls them and they follow him. Listen again to the words. He says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, the imagery here Jesus is using of the sheep herding in his day was of a sheepfold, which is an area enclosed by rock walls, sometimes had briars on the top to protect the sheep from thieves and from wild beasts. And into the sheepfold, there was only one door. Jesus says at one point, "I am the door of the sheep by which you go in and out." But he also says here in the earlier parable, he says, the porter, the guard at the door, lets the shepherd in and out because he's the rightful true shepherd of the sheep. Those who enter in another way, false teachers, false pastors, false prophets, false evangelists, those who'd lead you astray, come in to the fold other ways. But the good word is that the sheep won't listen to them because they don't know the voice of strangers. They know the voice of their shepherd. It's actually been proven in tests in the field that the sheep don't follow the shepherd's staff. They don't follow the smell of his clothes. They don't follow his dog, but they follow his voice, for they know his voice. And I want to ask you, do you know his voice? Do you know your shepherd, Jesus' call to you? Are you familiar and acquainted with it after years of following him and studying in the Word, that when you hear a stranger talk to you, you at once can recognize it and say, "That's not my shepherd." But then when he speaks to you, whether it be through a friend, a pastor, through the Word here, through a thought the Holy Spirit gives you, you know, "That's my shepherd's voice." Well, this is what we are as sheep. Jesus promises the sheep hear his voice, and they will follow him. Even if our hearts are prone to wander like sheep, you have the promise you will follow him because you know his voice. He'll make sure of it, and God's word cannot fail. But not everybody hears God's voice, do they? Later on in the chapter, it says, at that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, around December 25th, actually. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I told you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Are you a sheep of the Good Shepherd? Do you hear Jesus' voice? Well, if you never have, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will go in and out. He will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." I believe everyone here is saved today, but you can preach this to others if you will. Repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Become one of his flock. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says, "I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved." Do you know that in the sheepfold, the one door, sometimes the shepherd used to lie down and sleep at the door? In other words, in order to get in or out, you had to go through the shepherd. Well, to enter into God's flock, his redeemed people, we enter, there's only one way, through faith in Jesus Christ. But having believed in him, you are his sheep. And he speaks to you, therefore, tenderly every day. It says in Isaiah 30, he will be surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or to the left. Do you find that when you go through life? When you're wandering around? When I was at the nursing home this week visiting Archie, I visited with him, I shared with him the word of God, and then as I'm walking down the halls, I could just hear in my mind's ear the Lord speaking to me, the Holy Spirit, the shepherd saying this and saying that to me and speaking to me this, even as I'm walking through my day. And how do I know it was my shepherd's voice? Because it was in accord with the words of this book, God's very word. But as I walk through my life, is this the way with you too? The Lord speaks to us. The shepherd is always leading his people. He doesn't leave you alone. He doesn't say, come and hear my word on Sunday and go wander over the hills on Monday through Saturday. He's speaking to you every day, every second, every moment. He is calling to you, and you hear his voice, and you follow him, and he assures you, they will follow me, for they don't know the voice of strangers. I remember when I was a younger Christian, and in fact, even I don't even know what I was in my early 20s, because I was kind of a Christian, but I was also doing New Age, learning New Age stuff. I couldn't tell the voice of my master, my shepherd, when I heard it. I was easily led astray. I was going to the path of death. But when God called me and saved me, then my hearing became very clear. I remember at the Episcopal Church, I went there and I heard the preacher standing in a pulpit like this one, preaching New Age stuff, and I instantly picked up on it and said, that's not the voice of my shepherd. That's the voice of a stranger. And we consequently left that church, as did all the sheep. But many stayed, saying, no, he's speaking to us the words of truth. But the sheep don't hear the voice of strangers. And they will, Jesus says, rather flee from him, for they don't recognize the voice. Jesus also promises us something here, that he doesn't lose one of his sheep. Listen to what it says again. He says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Does God know your name? Sometimes we think of ourselves, I'm part of the church. I'm part of the flock. And that's true. But do you know he also, the shepherd knows each one of you, Bob, Malat, Michael, Greg, Zuleika. Do you know he knows each one of our names? He calls his own sheep by name. He's infinitely intimated, aware of you personally. He said, so, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas. He knew his name. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And then he was walking along one day, saw a man in a tree. He said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I must stay at your house today. When he was raised from the dead, Mary, supposing him to be the gardener, asked where the body of Jesus was. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she said, Rabboni, which means teacher. He calls his own sheep by name, Les, George, yeah, Sharon, where are you? Greg, he calls us by name. He calls you by name. If he knows you by name, he also knows your quirks, your weirdness, your uniqueness. He knows some sheep are afraid of the hill, some are afraid of the briars, some are afraid of the wolves, some are afraid of the dark. He knows each one of you. Do you know the 12 apostles that he was taking care of? He knew Peter was the impulsive, outspoken one. He knew that Thomas had a doubting and a hesitating spirit. He knew that Andrew was bringing people to Christ. He knew that John was always lying near to his breast. He knows each one of his sheep. He knows you intimately. He knows your name. If he knows your name, he knows your personality. If he knows your personality, he knows your needs. And what does David say in Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Does God restore your soul as you go through life? This is the promise that even when we have hearts like sheep that are prone to wander, we have a good and a faithful shepherd who knows us, and he's not willing that any of us should be lost. It says, Jesus told them a parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, doesn't leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. Are you that one? Do you wonder, is God going to save his whole flock and forget me? Well, Jesus says here, no, everyone is important to me. I'm not going to lose one of you because I'm the faithful shepherd. It says in John 6, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up at the last day. Are you that one? Is your heart prone to wander? Are you a sheep? Well, Jesus comes and seeks you when you're lost. And he calls you. He hears the bleating and the cries of his lambs, and they hear his voice and they follow him, for they know his voice. And Jesus has this assurance. You can't be snatched out of my hand. We need to be careful here not to wander. I'm not saying that wandering is still sin, by the way. We need to be guarding against that. But we have this assurance. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, you have been given to Jesus by God. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Who is this Jesus who tends you? This invisible God, this great shepherd of the sheep? It is God himself, and no one has the power, not even the devil, who, as we read, prowls around like a roaring lion, like a wolf and like a bear. Not even he, with all of his might and his angelic darkness, is able to snatch you. Not the world, with all of its trickery and its false teaching. Not your own prone, sinful heart, prone to sin and wandering, is able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. And Jesus says, I and the Father are one. I bear witness to you today. Jesus rescued me, my good shepherd, out of New Age teaching. He rescued me out of a devastating car accident. I came out without a Band-Aid needed. He rescued me from that Episcopal priest in Maine, from false teaching and other denominations, from financial trouble, from physical distress. He rescues us from health problems, from relational troubles, from going on the wrong path, and he sets our feet on the good and straight path, and he leads us in it. And Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. That's how we know he's the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You got other shepherds, they're hirelings. They don't care about the sheep. They see a wolf coming, they leave the sheep, and they flee, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The false pastors, the false shepherds, flee when the wolf comes because they don't care. They're in it to feed their own bellies. But Jesus, and all true shepherds point to him, Jesus, the chief and true shepherd, is the great shepherd. He cares for the sheep, and he gives us that testimony by laying down his life for the sheep. Even our great shepherd was called the Lamb of God that was slain. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, our good shepherd, takes away our sins, bears them away to a solitary land far away. And it says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You still willing to say, bah? Let other people take those names like razorbacks and bisons and wolves, blue devils and hornets. I'll gladly take the name of sheep if it means that I have Jesus Christ as my shepherd. He's well acquainted with all my thoughts, my ways, my quirks, my personality, my nature, my past, my present, my future, the way that I go. He knows my name and I know his. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the Lord will be, the throne will be their shepherd. He'll guide them to springs of living water. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, that day when free from sinning I shall see his lovely face, clothed then in the blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy wondrous grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels soon to carry me to realms of endless day. Amen. Please stand. As we hear his voice, let's now use our voice to acknowledge him. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ has loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. thank thee, our God, and praise thy glorious name. All things come from thee, and of thy own have we given thee. Amen. Would you please pray with me for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs?